We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
It's good. It's good. Thank you. Thank you. Just need to know that you're here. Our online viewers, you're also welcome. Feel free to comment if you're on YouTube or on Facebook. This morning, we're reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, which is where we have been for the last 3 weeks. John, chapter 20. Thank you, Phil. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. We'll read a few verses from there, and then we proceed. We'll read from verse 29. The Bible reads, Jesus said to them, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Today, we want to believe. Would you help us to believe today? We know, Lord, that it's not our intellect or our wisdom that explains to us that Jesus is Christ, that the Son of God came to earth. It is your spirit that helps us to know that. It's your spirit that reveals this truth to us. And I pray today as we hear the word of God that your spirit will be at work and help us to believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. In your name we pray, amen. We have been on a journey for the last few weeks. If you notice, we've been on John chapter 20. And we've been traveling with the different ones that came from the empty tomb. We started with Mary Magdalene, who was on a journey from mourning to joy. And then we traced the journey of the disciples from fear to courage. And last week, we looked at our dear friend Thomas, and we discovered that it was really not doubt that was the issue. It was an issue of disbelief, and he journeyed into faith. And so this morning, we bring a close to this series about the empty tomb, reflecting from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're looking from the journey, probably the main story that John wanted to tell in the entire book of the Gospel of John, is the journey from death to life. This is the story from death to life. And the emphasis today on this journey from death to life, the emphasis is on believing. In the few verses that I just read, the word believing or believe or believed is mentioned 4 times in just 3 verses. 4 times, John emphasizes this issue about believing. And this believing is at the very heart of our faith as Christians. It's at the very heart of this whole thing called Christianity. So there are a number of key words that John's gospel has. And one of the major key words that is found in the gospel of John is the word believe or believing or believed. He mentions it 98 times in the whole gospel. And actually in the whole Bible, A third of the times it's mentioned is found in the Gospel of John. It's basically, when he wrote the Gospel of John, that's one of his favorite words that he uses, believe. That's why I want to linger on this word, believe. Some scholars actually believe that the Gospel of John, most people, when they read it, they believe in Jesus Christ through this gospel more than any other gospel. Of course, it can be it's difficult to prove, but it's believed that most people that encounter this gospel, they move from death to life. So it's an important term, this thing called believe. In our English language, believe is rather a weak word. But the word translated to believe in the Bible, as used by John in the text that I just read for you, it's got a much, much stronger meaning. It is not simple to think something or to believe a propositional truth being presented to you. It's not a game of the intellect. It's not an exercise on convincing you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God at an intellectual level. It's not an apologetic argument. It's like arguing that in the beginning was God, and God was the Word in the beginning. Arguing about in the beginning that there was God is not a belief, not belief kind of argument. The point is, when Moses wrote the book of Genesis, he wasn't debating whether there is God or not. He simply said, in the beginning was God. Amen. Whether you like it or not, that's not his problem. The issue is, God was there. In fact, Moses is saying, before the beginning was there, there was God. Amen. You're with me so far. Stay with me here. Because John is trying to make a point here. So, no wonder John, when he starts the book of John, what does he say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He's simply saying, I'm not arguing with you on this. I'm not looking for votes on this. Neither am I looking for public opinion that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. However, I've got some work for you to show you that who he claims to be, he was indeed the Son of God. So Jesus claimed to be from God, didn't he? He claimed that he came from God in the flesh. Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We know that. But also that he is the Son of God, because he says, before Abraham was, I am. It was very clear to them that I pray to my Father. My Father sent me. So who are you? I've been sent by the Father. It is the Father who sent me. This that I do, I've seen the Father do. That's what he says. The whole book of John, he keeps saying, I've been sent. I'm with my Father. This is my Father. He uses this language, this terminology throughout this book, because he was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He also says the Savior of the world. He goes out to show that I am the Savior of the world. I am the bread of life, he says. He who believes in me shall not die but shall live, he says. So that is what he is. He is the Son of God. John is simply stating what to him is a fact. John wanted his readers to believe in Jesus Christ. But not only believe, this is the difference, not only believe, you can believe in the law of physics that says, the law of gravity that says, if something goes up, goes down, you can believe it and do nothing about it. But when John wrote, he's not writing at that scientific level, he's writing so that man may be saved. That's why he's writing. He's wanting an effect from what he's presenting to people. It says, I write this so that you may believe, but I want you to be saved, because when you believe in this man, you will be saved. He was not writing a biography to entertain people. Neither was he writing a historical text to enlighten people. When he wrote this gospel, he was writing so that lives may be changed. That's why he wrote the book. So as you listen to the Word of God doesn't entertain nobody. Unfortunately, in the times we live in, we've got entertainers on the pulpit that do all sorts of theatrics and antics to entertain us with the Word of God. But never was it meant to entertain nobody. It was meant to change lives. When you hear the Word of God, it's supposed to transform your life. That's the reason we are on the pulpit. And so, John says he has come to give you life. So what am I trying to say today? I want to say three things and then we'll pray. Number one is that if you are journeying from death to life, you have to understand that believing in Jesus is a daring adventure. Believing in Jesus is a daring adventure. Look at John 20, verse 29. I'm catching on from what I said last week about our friend Thomas. Jesus is talking to Thomas, and he says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You know, we may look at Thomas and the other disciples and everyone else and envy them because these guys actually saw Jesus with their own eyes in the physical. Isn't that amazing? They saw the resurrected body of Jesus Christ and they noticed the difference. Well, after a while they noticed because they were still unsure until he ate some fish. And also what surprised them was this body he has comes through locked doors, you remember? And they noticed that there's something a little bit different about this Jesus that we knew. However, that's not my point today. The point I'm making here is that they experienced his power. Listen to what John says in 1 John 1, verse 1. 1 John 1, verse 1. To really come close, you know, like when you are zooming in on something. So John zooms us into what they experienced that day when Jesus walked through locked doors. Listen to what he says. 1 John 1, verse 1. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our own hands have touched concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it." What life? The life of Christ. "And testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us." This is John writing. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He's saying, "I don't have time to argue with you because I saw him with my own eyes. I touched him with my own eyes. I heard him speak. And therefore, I proclaim to you that there is eternal life in Jesus Christ." Say, I'm not guessing this. I saw him. That must have been quite an experience for the disciples. And yet, Jesus says to Thomas, "Blessed are they that believe, even though they have not seen, even though they have not touched, even though they have not, you know, experienced that face-to-face contact." He says, "Blessed are they." Whoa. Because you are saved by not seeing, but by believing in Jesus Christ. You with me so far? Stay with me. He's telling us that It is not necessary to see Jesus Christ in the physical in order for you to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He says, I write to you so you may believe that you can actually believe in Jesus Christ without seeing physically. That opens the door for all of us here this morning. It opens the door for our viewers online. The door is wide open today. It's an empty tomb so that we may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So don't worry. Don't envy them about what they seen, what they saw, they heard, they touched. There is still room for you today to be a part of this family of God. Jesus Christ can be believed today. And there's a blessing to that. Can you imagine? They were not saved by what they saw. They were not saved by what they saw. They were saved by believing in Jesus Christ. They had to believe, because Jesus says, you believe because you've seen me? No, that's not the level I'm talking at. The level I'm talking at is believing without seeing. Because the adventure starts right there. I call it an adventure because how can you believe that which you do not see? How? It must be called an adventure. It's like jumping into, actually, I think we're in the next picture here. But it's okay. So, when you go for surfing, I've not done it before. I'm yet to do it. You really are on an adventure when you do this game. Because you don't know what's on the other side of the wave. But you've got to catch the wave. And let the wave carry you to wherever you're going. And your fate is in this little surfing board. That will carry your weight. And that it will respond to the wave and keep you steady. Well, believing in Jesus Christ is more adventurous than that. All you have is this man saying, believe in me. I am the Son of God. That's all you have. That's all you have. You remember a man in the Bible called Abraham. Abraham 15 verse 6. The Bible says, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him. Genesis, what did I say? Okay. Someone is listening here. Thank you. Someone is listening here. Wow, you guys are sharp. Got me there, right? Genesis 15, verse 6. Okay, I'm going to talk to you after the service, whoever. Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That word believe means to trust, means to have confidence in something or somebody. It means to lean heavily on that which you have believed or which you are basing your trust in. Another word used for this, another tributary word flowing from this particular word, it means to turn to the right hand, okay? To turn to the right hand in this context of Genesis 15, meaning that trusting means you are willing to change directions, okay? So Abraham, an idol worshiper, was willing to change direction from his faith system or belief system and switch over to Jehovah. And so that moment when he leaned over completely and said, I have nowhere else to go. My life is invested in this God. It was then counted to him as righteousness. He was no longer halfway. He was no longer in and out. He had made up his mind that I choose to believe in this God. I cross over to God, because we know the story of Abraham, that he had other issues going on in his life, you know, before this. He went to Egypt, came up with Hagar, and then so on, other things came out of that. But at this point, he's saying, I want to believe God. I want to throw everything on God. I want to put everything in one basket. Amen. That's the belief understanding I want us to have today. God wants you to switch over. That's the New Testament understanding. When John uses the word believe, he's saying, trust in God. Have confidence in Jesus Christ. Believe him completely for your life. Don't have plan B. There's no plan B in your belief system when it comes to God. You can't mix God with some other stuff. Either you chose God, you're choosing God this morning, or nothing at all. God is a jealous God. He does not want to be shared with any other God, with any other idol. But choose you this day who you want to be to your God. So believing is certainly not a joyride. It's an adventure with Jesus Christ. It's an adventure. It's dynamic. It's not static. You see Abraham journeying with God. I mean, it was daring, but it was adventurous. And it ended well because I will bless you. I will be your shield. I will be your reward. I will be with you. I will bless your descendants. I will bless. I mean, it ended well. Why? It was an adventure. It's an adventure. It's every day is an adventure with Jesus Christ. And invitation is open. Number two, believing in Jesus is much more than miracles. John 20, verse 30. Verse 30 says, now Jesus did many miracles, many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Okay, keep going. Next verse. Then he says, but these, which one are these? There are seven of them in the book of John. Seven of them. He says, these seven are written so that you may believe. There's that word. That you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Christ. He is the Son of God. The Christ means the Messiah. That Jesus, the physical man you're seeing here called Jesus, actually is the Messiah, the coming one, the anointed one. That's him. But not only that, he's the Son of God. Believe that. Obviously, he's calling us to a higher level. He's calling us to come out of the ordinary, saying, thinking that this is Jesus, the man I knew going to the synagogue, the young boy I grew up with playing in the village. He's a different man. He is the Son of God. He's not just your friend. You know, sometimes we Christians, we get used to God. Oh, my friend Jesus, my son, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But Jesus is a judge as well. Mm-hmm. So you can't sin and think you get away with it. Amen? But not only that, he's a father. My father. There's a different relationship between your friend, your peers, and you and your father. The relationship is different. So you got to notice that he is the Christ. He is the Son of God. So John presented Jesus in a threefold proof type of way. Because he presents Jesus saying, this is what Jesus did. Okay? Talking about the miracles he performed. And then he shows us the seven miracles. Water being turned into wine. A dead man being raised from the dead. Lazarus, you remember? And the pool of Bethsaida, where a man says, there's no one to steer the water for me. I always miss the moment. Now, that's a different story on its own, because Bethsaida means house of mercy. It's not the pool that heals. You understand that? It's the mercy of God that heals that. So the house of mercy was asking this man, how long have you been like this? It's the house of mercy asking. And notice that his answers are not even answering the question. Go read that story again. You'll learn some few things in John chapter 5. Jesus says, so how long have you... Oh, an angel comes and steers the water, but every time I try, somebody gets in. So I'm still stuck here. Says, okay, do you want to get healed? His answers are out of, they're just going elsewhere. The house of mercy is right there. So he's thinking the healing is in the pool. So his answer to Jesus is connected to the pool and not to the mercy he needs from the Lord. And so the house of mercy says, pick up your mat and go. He didn't even jump in the pool. So what are you looking for? Maybe you're looking for a miracle from the pool. Your eyes are on the pool. I mean, I know that if he was there for 38 years old. He was 30 years old. Now, all he needed to do was to ask someone to tie him right on the edge of the pool so that when the angel comes, he just turns a little bit. He's inside. He had 38 years to think like that. But he wasn't thinking like that. Are you with me? Maybe you're one of those that you are looking for a miracle and you are positioning yourself. You're a lovely Christian. You love God. But all your singing, all your worshiping, all your reading the Word of God, all your interacting with other believers is positioned in such a way that I'm waiting for the pool to be steered. Lift up your eyes to the house of mercy. Amen. Your help comes from the Lord. Your help does not come from the pool. Your help is not about the miracle. It's not a miracle you need. It's Jesus you need. It's the revelation of Jesus you need. You can be healed and still walk away from Jesus Christ. But when you have a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, my friends, you are in a good place. So we need Jesus Christ. It's not a miracle that you need as such. It is Jesus Christ. But John also presents Jesus Christ in how he lived. What was Jesus' walk? He presents him how he lived a perfect life in the midst of his enemies. That's something extraordinary for a man to do. To live a perfect life when you are being provoked, when you are being tempted, so to say, or when you are being pushed around, yet he lived a sinless life. Not only that, John also presents his words. He uses what Jesus said. Jesus said this, Jesus said that. You see John quoting Jesus nonstop throughout the book. If you have one of those Bibles that has got red letters, the book of John is littered with them. Littered with them. Because John wants to make sure that this is what he said, but this is also what he meant. So John says, you have this proof. Therefore, believe in Jesus Christ. Not just the miracles, but believe in the man, Jesus Christ. All of this evidence is pointing to one conclusion. And the conclusion is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And England needs to hear this. Sheffield needs to hear this. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's not the signs only that we need. He doesn't call them miracles. He uses two words. He says, they are works, number one. And number two, he says, they are signs. He doesn't call them miracles. They are signs. If you see a sign, if you're traveling to London, you'll see a sign that says, on the motorway, a sign will say, London, 193 miles away. Now, the sign has never been to London. It's showing you that this is how you get to London. This is how far London is, but it has never been there. So if all you believe in are signs, you still have a journey to go in order to find that place you're supposed to be in. And that place is called eternal life. And you get there by believing in Jesus Christ. How is it that we believe that the sign is telling me the truth and we can't believe Jesus Christ? Has the sign ever been to London? No. So how come you believe the sign? Now, ladies, when a gentleman says, oh, I love you so much, I want to marry you, and you'll never have to do anything, I'll look after you. How come you believe that gentleman? What did he do to you to believe him? He has got lyrics. That's what he has, right? Or maybe if you're one of the girls, he's got car keys that he jingles around. And you see the car, you hear the lyrics, you're like, it adds up. Listen to me. I'm going to get into trouble. I'll leave it. I'm going to leave that. I'm married, you know, so there you go. What am I saying today? I'm saying that signs point to Jesus. That's what John was saying. All these miracles are pointing to Jesus Christ. Crowds followed Jesus. They believed in the miracles. They did everything. But notice that when he started saying some things, they walked away from him. They said, no, we believe the signs, but what you are now saying, we don't believe you. When he was now showing them the way to having eternal life, they said, now you're changing the subject. We're not sure anymore. You can't be hung up with signs. Amen. You can't. Because it's not, Jesus himself said that you cannot be saved by putting faith in the works, that is miracles. You are saved by putting your faith in the man, Jesus Christ. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And the word is a person. The word is a man, is Jesus Christ. You put your faith in the man, not in the works. Then you will be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a massive sign. Have you ever noticed people say, I like giving signs. And one of the things I like giving signs, I do what I call landmarks. So I'll tell you, if you're coming home, you see a massive tree. When you see that tree, it means you're close to my house. But if you see a greenhouse, you are lost. Okay? Call me. You're now lost. So I like giving those kind of signs. Of course, we use Google Maps. I know. Okay, I'm a little bit old-fashioned in some things. Anyway, so imagine there's this big sign I give you and you miss it. And the moment I hear you miss that sign, I know you are lost. There's no way you can come to my house and miss that sign. But maybe because you're listening to your music, or maybe you're on the phone, or maybe you're listening to your wife or your husband as you're driving to my house, you then miss the sign. There can be a distraction. Jesus puts up a massive sign for everybody to see, and the sign was the resurrection. That I am the Son of God. Massive sign, and everybody misses the sign. So Jesus has to come through locked doors to say, did you see the sign? I want to show you again. You missed the sign, didn't you? Look at me. I am Jesus Christ. So he sends Mary. Mary, go tell them that sign is a sign I'm the Son of God. They said, we don't believe you, Mary. He comes through. 8 days later, he comes again to convince a guy called Thomas. And by the way, if you continue reading the last parts of John, what happens is the disciples, they walk away for fishing. Unfortunately, we won't do part five, but part five is moving from confusion to clarity. They were confused. They went back to fishing, yet Jesus has risen from the dead. So what does he do? He comes again to the beach to call them. It's me. So where are you today? Where are you today? Are you missing the big sign that Jesus has come to give life? Maybe you're missing the big sign. Maybe you're all over the place and you're missing the sign that Jesus is actually risen. Jesus is the Son of God. And this is who he claims to be. Lives can be changed when you begin to understand what Jesus is about. Here's the last point and then we'll close. If you understand that Jesus rose from the dead, you will also understand the third point that Jesus, living in Jesus Christ, is the doorway to life. It's almost a crime to say what I've just said. But let me quote scripture so that you don't quote me. Let me quote scripture because I'm not the first one to say this. It is John who wrote to us In John chapter 14, verse 6, is that correct? Ashil, help me. Where he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Is that in the Bible? Now, the question, we can debate this if we are not sure who's saying it. If it's Anderson saying it, discount it. If it's an archbishop saying it or the Pope in Rome, discount it. But if it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, saying, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, no one comes to the, which Father? The one in heaven called Jehovah. That Father. No one comes to that Father. The Father who created the heavens and the earth. Because there are many fathers these days. I'm talking about the one who created the heavens and the earth. The one that gives us, who gave us life. This one here. You can only come to him through Jesus Christ. So this is what John says. In John 20 verse 31, he says, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in whose name? In his name. The name that was given to him before the creation of the world. There are many fathers. There are many gods with a small g that claim that the world is a big bang, whatever. That claim that whatever, we come from wherever. We don't know about all that. What I do know is that there is a God who created the heavens and the earth. And it is that God who sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He says, if you believe in that, you shall have life. There are many expressions of life on this earth. There are many people that have come with solutions on how to live an enriched life, an enhanced life, an enlightened life. What else do they say? Many other lives. But I've come to tell you about eternal life. Life without end. An abundant life. Do you know that even if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you will live a life without end, except that it will be in hell. But Jesus is the doorway to life. Jesus is the only way to life. And life is only found in Jesus Christ. I write to you, brethren, so that you may know that this life is in the Son of God. That unless you have the Son of God, you don't have life. If you have this life, then you have got the Son of God. If you have the Son of God, then you have life. If you don't have the Son of God, you don't have this life. And it is this life that you need today. Life, this eternal life, you don't have to wait for it until you die. Whenever you believe in Jesus Christ, this life becomes real for you from today onwards. What this simple means is that the life of God becomes alive in you. In fact, is it not Paul who says in Ephesians that until you meet Christ, you were dead in your trespasses? That's what the language he uses. He says, if I don't know Christ, I am dead in my trespasses. But when I have an encounter with Jesus Christ, then life kicks in. The life of God becomes manifest in me because I've believed in Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, this is an invitation that John presents to us today. As we believe in the name of Jesus, we are given a new life. And this life comes through his name. There is no other name by which given unto men on earth by which a man may be saved except the name Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Many names have tried to claim that they are Jesus. Many names have claimed that they can change your life. But it's only the name of Jesus that can change and transform your life, never to be the same. You know, there's only one witness Sometimes people need to see your life just by looking at you. Yes, they might have missed the resurrection sign. Yes, they might have missed that, what the name stands for. But when they look at your life at work, when they look at how you live, when they look at what you say, when they look at your life in general, they say, there's something about that lady that I can't understand in my human mind. But there's something special about that young man. There's something special about that man. It's called the life of God. You are the sign. You are the sign. Whatever you are today, you are the sign. When people look at you, do they see Jesus Christ? When people look at you, do they hear something that they think, she's not that intelligent, you know? She's not that smart, you know? So where is that coming from? You remember Peter, when Jesus says, so who do you say that I am? Peter gives a massive answer, and Jesus said, my young man, that does not come from you. Folks like you can't say stuff like that. That came from a revelation from on high. Because the life of God can flow into your life and people get confused. That is it you speaking or somebody else? Of course it's somebody else. It's the Jesus that lives in me. My life can never be the same. So where do you stand this morning? Where do you stand? When you hear that Jesus is the Son of God, where do you stand? Where are you? I want to invite you today. If you're here today, maybe you believe in Jesus Christ, but you've got doubts in your mind. Maybe you're trying to live between death and life. You are in between, in the halfway house. So at one time you enjoy sin, you step this side. You blend in. It depends who's with you, like a chameleon. You blend in and fit in wherever you are. If you are that kind of a Christian, I challenge you this morning. Cross over. I challenge you. You need life. Death is not going to help you. You need life, life in God. Maybe you have not believed in Jesus Christ at all. Maybe what I've said to you sounds interesting, but you're saying, I need another day. The day of salvation is today. There's no tomorrow. You can't delay this. It's a daring adventure to believe in Jesus Christ. Why not dive in and see what this life has in store for you? And it's only through Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the Jesus in the Bible. I'm not talking about the Jesus, that's just a name. This name is not just a name. You know, he came down on earth to make sure that we understand the price he had to pay to make that name save you and me. That's why he went to the cross as a sacrificial lamb, so that you and I don't have to go to the cross, but our sins can be atoned for. Whenever we believe in this man, our lives are changed. So if there's any today hearing my voice, you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, I invite you today. I invite you to this life. I want us to bow our heads. You might not be in this room. You might be listening to me online. This is a life-transforming moment for you. I will invite you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I invite you this morning to come into my life. I open my heart. Take control. I surrender to you. I ask you to forgive me for all my sins. Come into my life. Would you reign in my heart? Would you teach me to live a life that is pleasing to you? From this day forth, I give my life to you. I choose to walk in your path. In Jesus' name, thank you for your mercy. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for tuning in. If you made that prayer, please do call us on the number shown on the screen. We ask you to call us so that we can help you to start living this life that is in Jesus Christ. You'll never be the same. And God's people said amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.